I'm Glenn Nelly, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. I've got secrets, and I'm sure you do too. You're listening to a message from our series on secrets. We've done things or had things done to us that we don't want anyone to know about. We're tempted to try and keep what's really going on a secret from others. And as we try to keep secrets, we create a lifestyle of lies that rob us from all the best of life. Jesus came to free us from secrets and shame and the power to destroy us. If you'd like to join us for services or learn more about us, check us out online at pccwired.org.
Dearly Father, we praise you. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we can live this life worshiping you. And Lord, what a great privilege that is. And thank you for allowing us to sit at your feet and know you and know your character. And Lord, in John, it talks about we can only speak of what we know. Lord, we can only testify of what we've seen. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to see and to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to welcome you to Pantano if this is your first time. And also want to welcome our friends in our other campus in Sierra Vista. They are meeting right now. And so I want to get rid of my bottle right there. And if you've never seen me before, I probably haven't seen many of you. I've done announcements in here a couple times. My name is Brian Lee. I'm the Elements pastor. And so, funny story to tell you, we've been going about a year, and we meet it on Sunday nights. We meet in town hall, and our worship's a little edgier, and all kinds of different things. We meet around tables. Sunday morning, I was walking out in the courtyard, and a woman walked up to me. And I thought, she's really walking towards me. She's not like walking somewhere. She's walking to me. And so I stopped and I said, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And she's like, I just have a question for you. And I was like, uh-oh. You know, I'm like, this could be bad or this could be good. And so she looks at me and she's like, "You're the Elements pastor." And I said, "Yes." A little hesitance there. And I said, "Yes, what's your question?" And she's like, "I did not realize that we are in such a day and age where we could have a pastor over communion." I'll let that sit for a while. So I answered her and I said, "Well, yes, wouldn't that be cool to be a pastor over communion? Because the elements of the juice and the bread." So, ba-dum-bum, you know. So, I just want to take this time to get you know, so you can know me a little bit better. I'm a native Tucsonan. I've been here for 34 years. I enjoy the sun, even though I like it cold, which is kind of a weird thing that goes on with me all the time. I went to Rincon High School. Anybody Rincon graduates in the house? And, they're like, "Woo," went off. You're an active crowd today. All right. So went to Rincon High School, and I enjoy athletics. I enjoy baseball, basketball, anything to do with a ball I enjoy. And but that has kind of have slowed down a little bit in my life because in 99 I got married to the love of my life, and she is an amazing woman, Kimberly Lee. And we got married in 99. Just to let you guys know, I'm broken. I said we got married in 98 last night, so... I paid for that one last night too. So, it's nerve-wracking up here, alright? And so I got married in 99 to her, and I've just enjoyed that relationship and how she's brought me closer, to understanding who God is. And God has blessed us with three amazing kids. My daughter is 8, her name is Lakin. My middle son is 5, and his name is Landon. And my youngest son is, if you're an educator or anything to do with in school, I'm sorry if he comes to your school. He is by far just out there. He loves just playing and going, and he's all boy. And so I spent a lot of my time playing sports with them and doing stuff with them, and that's how I spent a lot of my time. The other part of my time is trying to figure out how to reach 20-somethings and 30s here in Tucson. And that's what Elements is all about. We haven't really unpacked Elements and what that means and what the name means. When we first started Elements a while back, we were reading through the scripture. And it was so apparent to us that God speaks through very simple, powerful terms. He calls us to be consuming fire. He stands us to stand on the rock. He stands us to drink living water. And so all those things are basic elements of the earth. And that's why we named it elements, is because we have to stand on those principles. We have to stand on who God is to make it through the day. And that's how we came with the name Elements. And so if you are interested in checking it out, the music is edgy. And it's over in Town Hall. And I welcome you to come be a part. Even if you're not 20s or 30s, we will let you in the door. We don't do card checks. So it's okay. And I just, it's interesting being over here because I teach on Sunday nights and there's not very many, there's lots of more faces than over there. So, I have a question for you. Have you ever in your life received a Christmas card or a photo Christmas card in the mail in the last year or so? I think we all have, huh? It's like a tradition kind of thing. You know what gets me about those? This is hilarious. We have this big long table in our kitchen, and we get a lot of people that we've ministered to and people in our friends, and they send us these cards, and I laid them all out. The other pictures. You know, some are pictures, some are letters with pictures in them, some are just straight letters. And so I laid them all out. And you know what was very interesting to me? Everyone was putting on their best face, their best smile, and their best clothes in these pictures. They looked great. The smiles and these families, they're all dressed alike, standing in front of cars or a place that they found a family interest. And they were showing this really, really cool picture. And then I saw some of the pictures and some of the letters there on the table. And I realized, you know what? We, as people, try to put on an image to the world that we have everything together. We put on an image of, in our brokenness, or where we've been hurt, or in our pain, we put on this facade, and we put on the fake smile. But inside, we are just absolutely torn up and don't want to let anyone know that we don't have it all together. So as I was taking those cards, I was praying for those people, that they would understand that they could have a real, real relationship with God and really understand that it's okay to not have it all together. It's okay to not be where you think you should be. It's okay because God has it all figured out. All of us have many experiences that have left us broken. Many, it could be physical. Some, it could be emotional. Some could be a physical affliction or abuse. Some, it may be spiritual. You maybe feel like you're just not okay. You're disconnected. And some of us, maybe we just feel alone. Just absolutely alone. Not knowing where to go, who to talk to, and just alone. We all have, let me say that, we all have had someone or something break us. I'm asking you today, as I finish what we're talking about, I want you to open up your heart just a little bit, just a little, to look at the secrets of your brokenness and honestly evaluate your brokenness or evaluate the brokenness that you've had on someone else. And if you haven't got it by now, we're talking about brokenness today. The definition of broken, I'm going to read it. And as I read it, I just want you to listen to each section. Broken, violently separated into parts, damaged or altered, fractured, being irregular, interrupted, or full of obstacles, violated by a transgression, making weak or infirm, cut off, not complete, disunited. Can any of you identify with any of those phrases? I can. Being an athlete, there's been many times that I have gotten an injury. And I have been just totally, like, didn't expect it, and it kind of threw me for a loop. It affected me mentally. One time, this is hilarious to me, actually. I can laugh at it now. I didn't think it was funny earlier. I was playing football. So my dad wouldn't let me play football until I got into high school because he said it was something about bones being strong and all this other stuff. So I played freshman football, and we had practiced through August and September. It's hot, it's nasty, you stink, and it's just not very pleasant. And so we had gone through all the practices and done all the work, got to our first game at Flying Wells High School. Still this day, I can't say that word very well. Because it's just kind of... So we're first play of the game. I'm playing middle linebacker. For you that aren't football fans, that's defense, that's right behind the line, and they're supposed to stop all the running backs and plug holes. So all of a sudden, I thought our defensive line was really good. I took a step forward to tackle the person that was that I was supposed to be covering, and all of a sudden, this 250-pound lineman of my team fell on me, and I rolled my ankle back and tore all the ligaments in my left foot. I was crushed. I couldn't move. I couldn't put my foot down. I couldn't even get off the field. My pride was like, ah, I need to get off the field. And so that happened. So I did the work, did the rehab, went to the doctor, did all that kind of stuff. 6 weeks later, we had 4 games left. The doctor cleared me to play. And so I was like, sweet, this is awesome. I get to play football. And I'm not really a super football fan, but I just like to hit things. And so it was really fun to hit things. So, you know, I'm a freshman in high school, you know, football is football. You crush things legally. I went to practice the next day. I was so excited. And they're like, well, Brian, we don't want you to go back on playing middle linebacker. We want you to play corner, which is now guarding our wide receiver, because we don't want you to have contact like you did last time. I was like, okay, I'm playing. Who cares? And so, we were doing exercises, and it felt great and fine. And so we were running scrimmages, and I was guarding one of the receivers, and I was backpedaling. My right foot went into a gopher hole. Did the exact same injury to my right foot that I did to my left foot, 6 weeks apart. And so guess what? Brian didn't play football the rest of the year because Brian's was hurt. He was injured. And that really, really affected me mentally because I couldn't be a part of the team. I couldn't go to practice. I was hobbling around in this little air cast thing, and I couldn't be a part. I was stuck on the sidelines. And my question to you is, in your brokenness and in your hurt and in your pain, are you stuck on the sidelines? Not being able to fully, fully understand what God's love and God's grace is all about. I'm also a pastor. Duh, I'm here. And I can identify really early on that God wanted me to do something in the ministry. I was asked to do my first talk or my first sermon, teaching, whatever you want to call it. I was reading notes straight off a page when I was 14. And you think, wow, he's been doing this for a long time. He's been doing it for almost 20 years. And he must get it. He must know what's going on. He's figured it out. Well, I'm here to tell you, in my own brokenness, I had to write this down so I wouldn't forget it. Over the last 20 years, I have felt broken. Insecure spiritually, I have heard the enemy tell me, you are too young. You don't have the right education. You don't have anything to say. No one is listening to you. You are not good enough. You'll never make a good pastor. Give up. And the one that always comes up is, you don't have what it takes. Some of you may have similar things like I just said. Your brokenness is much more violent, maybe. You've been abused, you've been hurt, you've been taken advantage of, or trampled on, violated, and permanently or forever altered. Someone else's actions have defined you and have stolen your identity in Christ. The first thing we need to do in our brokenness is identify it, knowing that we are broken, that we have things in our lives that we're not proud of, things that are weak, that we just need to call it out and identify it and say, yes, God, here it is. And look at it honestly. Not look at it like, well, that's just something. But really take it and look at it and identify it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is King David and how he became, how he was picked to be king, and the guy went through all of his brothers and they weren't suitable. And then he was out in the field being a shepherd, and he was brought in and he was picked to be king. And then the other story of how David was brought to Goliath, and he chose the five stones and the slingshot, and he brought down one of the huge Philistine giants. I can imagine what David's thoughts were when he's walking up to this Philistine giant, or when he was out in the field and being picked to be the king, not understanding what his purpose was or how he could be worthy of this. And then you see later on in the book, he has more and more authority. He becomes king of Israel. All authority is given to him. And he still is looking for God. And then he makes some bad choices. The bad choice is that he's the king of Israel. He's the king out there. And all of a sudden, he kind of steps back from his duties. And he sends his men out to protect his kingdom. Protect Israel. And he decides to stay home. He decides to take some of his authority, some of his responsibility, and he takes it and just hangs out in his palace. And usually when we step back from what we are trying to do and what God has had us, our purpose to do, we usually get in trouble. That's usually when we start doing stuff that's not really good for us. David is the same thing. He sees out on the one of his officers, Bathsheba, beautiful woman. He sees her and he's like, whoa, wow, I want her. I need her. And he makes a decision to bring her into his house, gets her pregnant. Then, knowing all this stuff, he takes one of his loyal officers in his army, brings him home, and then sends him back out to be killed, to cover his own brokenness. And David did two things. He denied it for a time. He kept on saying, well, I'm the king. I can do what I want. I'm the king. I can do what I want. Whatever. You can't tell me what to do. Then the prophet came and told him, you are sinning against your God. You are sinning against the God who puts you where you are. So if you turn to me with 2 Samuel 22. Actually, before I do this, I'm going to get some water. 2 Samuel 22. Here we go. David sang to the Lord the words of this song, when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies, for the hand of Saul, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I can take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men, you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from the enemies. The waves of death swirl about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The clouds of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. I am my distress. I call to the Lord. I call out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his canopy around him. The dark, the rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. The shots of arrows scattered the enemy's bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare and rebuked the Lord. At the blast of the breath from his nostrils, he reached down from the high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into the spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Let me read that again. He brought me into the spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. King David had two choices. He could have denied it, or he could have owned it. Two simple questions. He chose to deny it, and then the prophet came to him and said, you know what, why are you doing this to your God? Your God is here for you. He has brought you to this space. He's here to protect you. And this scripture that we just read is the scripture that David writes about the God that saved him in his brokenness. If we choose to deny, we live a disunited, broken relationship from God. We are cut off from his joy, his peace, his abundant life, and what he wants for us. We watch from the sidelines, wanting to be part of the game, but not being able to engage in the game. And worse off, we just settle for where we are. And we are really not complete in God's identity for us. We put our guard up, we push people away, we act fake, we lie to make someone or something thinking that we're something we're not. Relationships are tough enough as it is. But then when we pile our brokenness on top of that, and we try to act and be something that we're not, instead of accepting who we are, it's like a time bomb ready to go off. We're ready to explode. Because we are working so hard to keep the inside in and not letting it come out. Our other option is we can own our brokenness. We can take it and see it and kind of saying, hey God, you're right. I am absolutely broken, weak, and those situations that I've been in, the situations that I've got myself into, are yours now. They're yours to take care of. If you turn with me to Psalms 34... If you haven't got it already, you see, I like the Psalms. They speak to me. 34, 18, and 19. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Let me read that again. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. I don't know about you. I think an owning it's the best way to go. The whole words of being cut off and being not in the right relationship with who God is. And then on the other hand, experiencing the God that David experienced in Samuel, the God that's riding on the clouds and that is coming down to fill our lives with what we need. You can wait for God, or you can to filter out your brokenness, or you can go to him and say, you know what? I confess it. I don't want to hide anymore. I want you to take it from me. You can share your hurts, your anger, your secrets. Ask for Him in His healing experience and His power to forgive you. Not one tear, not one hurt, not one experience went unnoticed by God. Give Him the chance to cover you with His love, His power, His grace, and His promises. But we can say that and we can do that, but there's a thing that we do as human beings. We lie to ourselves. We know we're broken. There's areas of our life that we know that we need help with. And we either deny it or lie about it. We lie to ourselves. And I'm here today. As we leave this building, let's make a commitment to each other and to yourself. Let's not agree with any more lies. And I mean by this, agreeing with any more lies, is when you are hurt or when someone hurts me, Satan has the ability to come in and tag a lie of worth, of youthfulness, as the one I said about being a pastor. I fight with that all the time. I have agreed in the past that I am too young, uneducated, don't have what it takes to do what I do. And I've had to go back in my life and really break those lies because I've agreed with them. I've agreed with Satan and said, yeah, I'm probably not. You know, I am young. I am uneducated about things. But God doesn't want me to agree with those lies. He wants to come in and take them out. He wants to move them. In 1 John 4:4, it says, dear children, what is in the world is not as strong as me. What is in you is way stronger than is what is in the world. And we need to claim that promise. Claim the promises of Jesus, not listen to the lies of Satan. No more hiding, no more defending your brokenness. Freedom in knowing that you are sons and daughters of a mighty King. Sons and daughters of a mighty King. Let me get it one more time because I want to make sure you get it. We are sons and daughters of a mighty King. He is created in us a spot for Him. And He has created us in a masterpiece that He can reside in. A vase that He can put His fragrance in, His flowers in, His creation in. When you own your brokenness, you get a glimpse of grace. Grace is a gift from God to people who don't deserve it. There's a great quote from Philip Yancey. It says, grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us more and nothing we can do to make God love us less. I'm going to read that again. Grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us more and nothing we can do to make God love us less. Stew on that for a second. I mean, my many years of ministry, there's another step to this. We can understand grace and we can know what it means in our head, but then there's some application that we can need to do. And in our brokenness, we've tried so hard to keep it quiet, keep it still, and not wanting to anyone to know about it. And so we choose not to tell anybody. We choose not to let other people help us and support us in this process. Thus, it leaves us alone and disconnected and back into the circle of our brokenness. And I've come to find out that we don't, as humans, like to be held accountable. We definitely don't like the IRS. We don't like those speed traffic cameras at the intersections. We don't like the personal trainers pushing us to work and to get our bodies in shape. But we have to go the extra mile. We have to go the extra mile in our brokenness. God is going to come in. He's going to fill us up. He's going to fill us with His love, His mercy, and His grace if we invite Him in. But the key thing, if we share our brokenness in a humble way to someone else, they may be in the same spot you're in. And they're holding it, screaming inside, not knowing how to tell anybody. And you crack the ice and you break it open. You shatter the veneer and you let your life flow. You may be helping someone else. In your brokenness and in your hurt and in your pain and in your weakness, we can help other people if we let God sit in our brokenness. He is made perfect in our weakness. So you're like, Brian, so what? Who cares? What do you have to say? This is all great words. You have two choices. What do you choose? Brokenness, unable to experience freedom, joy, forgiveness, and grace, cut off from being complete in your relationship with God and others? Or do you choose to claim the rightful seat of being sons and daughters of the King? And claim the life God has designed for you. Let's take this time to really think through how God came as an example to us so that we don't have to live in our brokenness. As we take communion, thank Him and allow Him to work in your heart and understand that He came to die and His body was broken because of our sins. And He did that because He loved us. Dear Heavenly Father, You are powerful, You are mighty, You are glorious. And Lord, thank You for allowing us to be and be free. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be free in our lives, be free with our giving, be free with our offerings to You, with our songs of praise. Lord, just be in us, work through us, and show us where You want us to give and be free. Lord, thank You for everything that You've brought us to us. And Lord, thank You for everything You've brought us through. In Jesus' name, amen.